Greetings, Iowa. My name is Brian Rohrbaugh. About 10 years ago, my son and I first started watching Bob Benyart live on television. At first I thought, what's wrong with this guy? He would quote from the Bible and I'd think, that's not in the Bible. So I got my Bible and I looked. You know what? I was wrong. I didn't know things like God sought to kill Moses. Did you? I soon realized Bob had an understanding of the Bible that I wanted, along with the boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ without compromise. So I purchased a plot and a video, and I began to support this ministry. The first time I met Bob in person was in 1999, a few days after my son Dan was murdered at Columbine High School. I am so thankful that I had a biblically correct understanding of God and His Word at that time. I hope you will enjoy this show and join with me in supporting Bob Benyart Live. I want to encourage you to buy the plot and read it. And if you don't love it, I'll personally refund your money. Thank you.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and welcome to Iowa. Now, I know we're on in Denver, right? I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. But today is a big day for Bob Benyart Live because we're adding a new affiliate in a new city, a brand new market. Over the years, Bob Benyart Live has been on in 80 cities, but we're so thrilled because we've never been on in Iowa. And today, welcome to Boone, Iowa, Ames, Iowa, that's college town, and even Des Moines, Iowa, all via KFFF, AM and FM. So we're really excited. We thought what we would do is give our Iowa listeners a rundown of some of the topics that we typically cover on Bob Benyart Live. Now, there's important news stories to talk about, like the Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, their effort to control some of our ports here in America. Boy, do we want to talk about that. And South Dakota moving toward, their legislature has passed this bill to outlaw abortion, and that's so vitally important. But I want to give you a rundown of what we believe here at Bob Benyart Live. What is it we talk about? Well, here are some of the topics we discuss. Things like abortion, of course. The ACLU. ADD. What's that? Adult Discipline Disorder? Something like that. ADD. Animal rights. We talk about animal rights. Child abuse. What is that? Child pornography. The death penalty. Should Christians be for or against the death penalty? The environment. Cutting down trees and all. Is that good or bad? I have a goal in my own life personally to cut down 1,000 trees during my life. Then there's euthanasia. Right? Euthanasia. Is it right or wrong to starve someone to death? And there's other methods of euthanasia also. Evolution. Have men evolved from animals? Have we evolved from apes? Is evolution true, or did God create us in the recent past? What is the age of the earth? The age of the universe? Is it billions of years old? It gets about another billion years old every, what, 8 or 9 years? Since I've been around. Let's see, what else? So, evolution, the family, and is it good to have, what kind of families? Is it just as good to have a single mom and kids as a mom and a dad? Or is it better to have two dads? No, let's agree right now, that's not good. But a mom and a dad, is that the best? Of course that's the best. And so how about when there's a single mom? So these are all issues we talk about on Bob Benyart Live, and let's see, what else? Feminism, right? Global warming, guns, homeschooling versus Christian schooling versus public schools, homosexuality, liberals generally, the Libertarian Party. A lot of Christians think, hey, liberals are bad, but the Libertarian Party is good. Boy, are they confused or what? And what else? Origins of the universe. Has it always been here? The universe couldn't have always been here, right? That's not possible. because it'd be dead and cold by now. Overpopulation? Is the world overpopulated? Pornography? Do people have a right, a First Amendment right, to produce pornography? What else do we have here? We have prisons. Are prisons good or bad? Prisons tend to be schools for criminals. People tend to get worse when they go to prison. Public schools. Should the government be raising and educating our kids? Should the government be educating our kids? What else? Sexual immorality. Is sexual immorality a sin and only a sin, or is it also a crime? It used to be, for 3,500 years in Judeo-Christian culture, that sex was only legal within marriage. So should sex be legal outside of marriage, as has happened just in the last few decades? And then socialism, right? Is socialism a good thing or a bad thing? God said, thou shalt not steal. How does socialism fit in with that principle of do not steal? And the United Nations, we call the UN the UN. The UN, is the UN a force for good or a force for evil? So these are some of the topics we talk about here at Bob and Yurt Live, and we'd be happy to take your calls, whether in Colorado or on the internet. Of course, people listen to Bob and Yurt Live streaming live in Denver and in Iowa, and you can find both those streams at our website, kgov.com. Okay, so I want to start. Let's back up and go through the list. Abortion, right? Abortion. I mentioned abortion. And God said, thou shalt not murder. And an unborn child is a living human being. So you put those two together and you realize that everyone should oppose abortion because it's the intentional killing of a living human being. And the unborn child is innocent and has not been convicted of a capital crime, and therefore should not be killed, and the government should not tolerate the killing of unborn children, and Christians should not be apathetic. Christians have all kinds of ways of convincing themselves that their apathy about abortion is okay, but it's not okay. God said one thing about killing the innocent and our responsibility that's uncanny. Now, God said this. Maybe somebody could call in and tell us, where did God say this? But this is what God said. If a dead body is found lying in the wilderness, somebody killed someone, and the corpse is discovered, God gave a command of what should be done with the corpse. Well, not exactly with the corpse, but with the location of the corpse. Here's what God said should be done. God said, measure the distance from the dead body to the nearest cities. Measure the distance from the dead body to the nearest cities. Now, why would God say, if you find a dead body, to measure the distance? Why would he say that? He would say that because whichever city was closest to the dead body, God was going to hold that city accountable, because they should have a government, a culture, a society wherein the innocent are protected. And God takes it personally, and he carries a grudge when people allow the innocent to be killed. So God said, whichever city is closest to that dead body, I'm going to hold them accountable. I'm going to say that that blood is on their hands. And to be forgiven, that city, that community, is going to have to be able to pray and say, God, our eyes did not see it. We didn't know this murder was happening. Our hands did not shed this blood. Please forgive us. And then God would forgive them. But of course, abortion, everybody knows it. And God holds us accountable as a community. So not everybody needs to be a street protester, but everybody has to be involved in the battle. Okay, then the ACLU, so that was abortion, AB, now AC. ACLU, what does that even stand for anymore? The Antichrist Legions of the Underworld. What does it stand for, ACLU? All criminals love us. I mean, whatever is good, they're against, and whatever is bad, they're for. So the ACLU, they say this line that they're for free speech, except that their founder, who is that, Roger Baldwin, for decades, he loved the Soviet Union. And when he was asked, why is it that you're a free speech crusader, But the communists running the Soviet Union, they don't give anyone free speech. And he would say, well, it's a worthwhile sacrifice because of what they're building. They're building a utopia over there, you know. Oh, yeah, a utopia where everybody stands in line for a loaf of bread. That's quite a utopia. So, and then Ralph Nader went over there and he said, he was speaking to a group of Russians and he said, you know, they say that you people have to wait in lines for basics like vegetables and potatoes. He said, but that's good because that makes the Russian people very reflective and philosophical. And you know what the crowd did? They cackled in laughter. How stupid Ralph Nader was. Let's go to the phones. Our first phone call here on the new Bob and Yurt Live, because we're also on in Des Moines, Iowa. Our first phone call is coming from Watkins, Colorado. Leslie, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Well, hi, Bob. How are you?
Hello, Leslie. Now, wait a minute. I don't know every Leslie in the world, but this sounds like the vice president of Colorado Right to Life, Leslie Hanks.
This is me.
Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for taking my call today.
Sure.
I just wanted to tell your new listeners that they are going to be so blessed, as I was blessed yesterday during your best sermon I've ever heard.
Oh, wow. Yesterday at Denver Bible Church, the sermon was what? The ABCs and 1-2-3s of Christianity.
It was. And you know, when you first gave that title, I kind of thought, oh, rudimentary Christianity, who needs that? But boy, it was so powerful and it was so comprehensive, and I just encourage your new listeners to start getting your materials, that your Bible study tapes and all the great teaching that we have available to us when we go to Denver Bible Church is just so helpful and awe-inspiring, and just build you up as a believer in knowing how to do what's really right most all of the time.
All right, Leslie, I'll give you 20 minutes to cut that out, all right? And, hey, listen, you mentioned it, so I might as well do an ad hoc plug here. We have our monthly sermons on CD, and I'm not going to try to get the Iowa listeners to, you know, even think about getting those yet, because they're just finding out about who we are. But they go out all over the country. People love to get the Denver Bible Church sermons on CD mailed to them every month. And we have our Bible study albums. We have about, what, 40 Bible study albums, dozens of videos that we've produced, and manuscripts on the Bible, living the Christian life. We have debates on theology. There's a wealth of information here at Bob and Yurt Live that we pray and hope the people in Iowa will enjoy and learn from. So, Leslie, that's so kind. Any specific from the sermon that you thought was interesting?
Yes, actually, the very end where you were demonstrating the Trinity and how it really all goes together in so many other areas what we would recognize. And then, of course, the Bible study before, or Sunday school, was just superb on the sons of Noah.
The sons of Noah, Ham, Canaan, today, the nations of the world, how they descended from the sons of Noah and what that all means. And we talked about the war on terror and all the terrorists, Muhammad Atta and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and all these Mohammeds, modern day Mohammeds.
Right.
And so it was a fascinating Sunday school. It really was.
It really was. Of course, I would also like your listeners to know what a tremendous support you always are to Colorado Right to Life, especially this last March for Life. You ran ads free of charge for us to promote Brian Rohrbaugh and his speaking about the connection between abortion and Columbine. And just, I can't thank you enough, Bob. You are just wonderful.
Okay, Leslie, hey, we're going to have a mutual appreciation party here on the air. But Leslie, I love you and all our fellow workers there at Colorado Right to Life. So thank you so much, Leslie Hanks.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the Plot Manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or kgov.com.
This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. Welcome back to Bob Inyart Live. Our phone number, 800-8-NYART. That's 800-836-9278. 800-836-9278. All right. Now, where were we? We talked about abortion and the ACLU. And how about ADD? What does that stand for, ADD? Attention Deficit Disorder? Nah. It stands for Adult Discipline Disorder because liberals don't know how, of course, liberals do not know how to discipline children. And some kids are just naturally obedient or agreeable, and other kids are more of a challenge. And it's the kids that are more of a challenge that liberals have a meltdown with because they don't know what to do about it. They just don't know what to do about kids who are falling apart. And in fact, what they end up doing is trying to trick the kids or cajole the kids into obedience, and they can't actually simply get respect or obedience out of a child because they're against spanking. And so ADD turns out to be adult discipline disorder, and kids are far more unhappy than they have been in the past before the jihad against spanking. So, but that's a ADD, adult discipline disorder. Remember that. Then animal rights. We talk about animal rights on this program, right? Animal rights, you know, a lot of conservative Christians tend to think, oh, animals don't have rights. But really, they do. They have some fundamental rights. They have the right to be hunted, the right to be killed, the right to be cooked, and the right to be eaten. It's very simple. It's not complicated. Animal rights. And I personally, I love animals. They're delicious. And we talk to animal rights people on the show on occasion, and it's a lot of fun. Typically, like Robin Duxbury, who I debated on the show years ago. We've been on the air for 15 years. She's the director of the Rocky Mountain Humane Society. And I asked her, I said, Robin, how about when they do research on fetal pigs or they kill fetal pigs and then they, you know, test or whatever? And she said, oh, that's wrong. I said, are you pro-choice? And she said, absolutely. So I said, wait, let me understand this. You're against killing an unborn pig, but you support killing a baby boy or a girl. How can that be, Robin? And she said, you know, I never thought of it that way. You never thought of it that way. How can it possibly be that a person could dedicate their lives and they think it's wrong to kill an unborn pig, but it's right to kill a baby boy or a girl? How could that be? All right. And then animal rights. Then what's after A, B? Let's say A, B. The Bible. The Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. And it should inform our worldview and our positions on public policy. The Bible tells us how to go to heaven, and it tells us how the world should go. And so we Christians, we should be experts on the Word of God, what it means to be a Christian, to have a family, to function in a family, to be a mother or father, to run a church, be a part of a church, and to run a government. We should know. The world doesn't know. They're ignorant. All right, let's go to Loveland, Colorado. Ray Graybar. Ray is the producer of Bob Inyart Live. Ray, you almost never get on the air.
I know, Bob. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to let the new listeners know in Iowa that Bob Inyart has a tremendous history. And that history is all contained in the archives of some of the great interviews that you've done over the past few years.
Oh, we've had fun, Ray, haven't we?
Yes, we have. So,
how many times did you get me on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher on ABC?
You were invited on 9 times, and I believe you appeared on 5. And then Doug McBurney took your place a couple
Doug
times.
Doug McBurney, who's an occasional co-host here at Bob and Yurt Live, when I was busy, I think he did 2 shows.
I believe he did.
So, yeah, and hey, Ray, that's thanks to you sitting in your log cabin in the Rocky Mountains.
Yes, it's true.
You do a good job up there in the mountains.
Well, we appreciate that, Bob. It's so exciting to be able to be just a small part of what goes on at Bob and Yurt Live because of your extreme and a much appreciated knowledge of the mind of God. And this gives people a chance to understand things without question. And I've never heard anybody able to put the word together the way you do.
Well, hey, Ray, you know what? When we had so much fun, when we went to L.A.,
yes,
and they were auctioning off O.J. Simpson's memorabilia.
Right.
And we bought his stuff for, what, $16,000. His Hall of Fame award, his jerseys. He signed Heisman 68, his Buffalo Bills jersey. We bought it all, and we burned it on the steps of the L.A. courthouse the next day at high noon.
And you got world recognition on that.
Yeah, we launched our website, KGOV.com. And that's why it's one of the most popular sites in the Christian community, along with our sister site, theologyonline.com.
Well, Bob, I'd just like to encourage your new listeners just to pay attention to what you've been doing. You can always tell where a person is going by where they've been. And anybody that can stand up to a former administration that Bill Clinton ran has to have a lot of boldness.
Yeah, we protested Clinton in 140 cities for his crime of raping Juanita Broderick, a campaign worker. And we've interviewed Juanita Broderick, and we did the worldwide exclusive with a nurse, Norma Rogers, who found Juanita crying and wounded in the hotel room at the Camelot Inn in Little Rock, Arkansas.
And these are all in archives.
Yeah, they're all in archives. Boy, when people find the Bob and Yurt Live archives, they hit the mother load.
Also, we might have a new listener in the Fort Collins area.
Diana the Nurse. Diana, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. We welcome Des Moines. We might as well welcome Diana, too.
Diana the Nurse. She's great.
We're excited to have her in the audience. Ray, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
God bless you. I appreciate that. And you can find this show and all our past shows practically going back years at KGov Archives. And in fact, KGov. Just go to KGov, KGOV.com. They're Bob and Yurt Live writings. I think you'll have a lot of fun. So this week we're going to go through some of the topics we talk about here at Bob and Yurt Live. And of course, all Christians believe that we need to read and study and learn from the Bible, all true Christians. But then they tend to have this separation of church and state, Christians do, where they think that we should understand about salvation from the Bible, but how the government should function, we got to find that elsewhere. We can't look in the Bible for how the government should function. We can't look in the Bible for what the laws should be. And that is wrong. Okay, so hold on. We'll be right back. Have you seen the Bob and Yurt Live catalog? It's got so many neat resources, like videos such as Get Out of the Matrix, when I debated a college philosophy class, and Eagle Eggs, when does an eagle become an eagle? Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection, and God and the death penalty. And then there's Video Fruitcake with hilarious liberal callers. So call in and ask for the Bob and Yurt Live catalog, or get it on the web at KGov, KGOV.com. Of course, all these materials are listed and described on the internet, or call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We'd love to send you a Bob and Yurt Live catalog, so give us a ring. It's absolutely an honor. After 15 years of Bob and Yurt Live being on in cities around the country, we were on TV for years, radio and TV, and now we're on only on radio, and it's an honor to be on in Iowa. In fact, I was perusing the Des Moines Register, your newspaper there, earlier today, and trying to get familiar with your community, and I noticed that they were talking about the number of students who have been suspended from school in just, what was it, the year 2003, the 2003-2004 school year, and it was somewhat startling, 11,098 suspensions in one school year. And they said they have a zero tolerance policy for fighting, and they're thinking about softening up the policy. And, you know, conservative Christians often talk about dumbing down the public school student body and lowering the standards. So they have a zero tolerance policy for not just fighting, but malicious fighting. Students involved in malicious fighting, they have to be suspended. And so they're saying, you know, maybe that's too tough. We have a total of 11,098 suspensions in one year. And so let's not punish students who are malicious fighters that severely. Now, what is the solution to that problem? If you're a Christian, you've been listening to Christian radio for some time, what is the solution to the public schools in Des Moines and their fighting problem? Is it what kind of penalty that they impose? Is that the solution? And what should parents do about this problem? You send your kids to public school. Now, how often do girls, say girls in middle school and high school, how often are they made fun of in a way that if it happened at the workplace, it would be a lawsuit? Right, at the workplace, if some coworker started making jokes about a woman's body or asking her for sexual favors, what would she do? She would report it, and she would sue for sexual harassment. What happens in the public schools? In our public schools, if you have a daughter in a public middle school or high school, most likely she is the target of sexual jokes or sexual harassment on a somewhat ongoing basis. It's systemic. So the answer to the problem of fighting in the public schools is not to impose better discipline in the public schools. It's to take the children out of the public schools. That's the solution. So, you know, when the Titanic is going down and you want to rearrange the deck chairs, that's not going to accomplish much. You want the band to keep playing music on the deck of the Titanic as people are jumping overboard and they're freezing to death in the Atlantic. And so rearranging the deck chairs, the kind of music you play while you're sinking, that's not especially relevant to solving the problem. And so you could increase the punishment for fighting in the public schools. You could introduce prayer in the public schools. Is that a good idea? Is that a solution? Well, we could pass a law that says, like in Nevada where they have brothels, should we say there should be prayer in brothels at the start of every day? Is that a good idea? No, that's a really bad idea. And the public school system, it's a godless education system. And so it would be good for Christians, at least, at the very least, for Christians to be agreed of one mind that a godless education system is a bad thing and that God does not want us to entrust the government with the education of our children. And so if you're a Christian mom or a dad and your kids are in public school, you might not be sure, well, I can't afford to take them out, or I don't know what I would do. Here's how you start. You start by praying and you ask God, Lord God, I know that my kids should not be in a godless education system. I know that, Lord, that is so obvious from your word, from your Holy Spirit within me. I know that I shouldn't hand my children over for their education to a system that hates you. So please help me figure out how I could help my children to receive a Christ-centered education. Help me figure that out. So anyway, that's the solution to the malicious fighting in the public schools, is to close them down. Hey, if it saves one life, it's worth it, right? That's what liberals always say. But, okay, so 11,098 suspensions last year. Talk about ADD, adult discipline disorder. Wow. And that's in the heartland of America. It's not in Brooklyn, New York. It's not in South Central LA. It's in Des Moines, Iowa. Okay. So now I want to get back to my list. Where was I? All right. We talked about abortion and the ACLU and ADD, adult discipline disorder. We talked about animal rights, the Bible, right? These are all topics we talk about here on Bob and Yurt Live. And we'd like to invite you to join us. And I'll give the phone number again. It's 800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278. The Bible is the Word of God. Now, let me repeat something I say frequently. And the Bible, the Word of God, should inform our worldview and our positions on public policy. Not only do we learn from the Bible how to be saved, but we also learn God's opinion on things like government, on family, on raising children, on how a church would function. And God has an opinion on matters of governance and criminal justice. So we're going to go to the phones. And in Des Moines, Elizabeth, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Well, thank you. I just had a question. Do you think our national Christian leaders have accurately represented Bush's two judicial nominees, or have we been sold a bill of goods?
All right, John Roberts and Samuel Alito. Wow, what a call, Elizabeth. You're my very first call from Iowa.
Oh.
And this is a serious call. So, all right, Samuel Alito, if we look at the last 10 years, because people change over time.
Right.
In the last 10 years, he has issued 5 extremist pro-abortion rulings. Mm. 5, where he's ruled, for example, that if an unborn child is killed by malpractice, that the parents have no right to sue. Now, that's an extremist position against the welfare of the child and the parents. He's ruled, for example, that in partial birth abortion, in the Planned Parenthood versus New Jersey case, 2000, Samuel Alito ruled to keep legal partial birth abortion. He ruled that partial birth abortion should remain legal, and for the most part, our Christian leaders have approved of him in ruling that. You know that, right, Elizabeth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when you ask them, we had a big debate about this with a talk show host just a couple weeks ago. Another nationally known Christian talk show host and I, you can listen on kgov.com. We got our shows archived. But we had this debate, and I asked him about Samuel Alito voting to keep partial birth abortion legal.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said was, now he believes abortion is murder. And partial birth abortion, when the baby is 7, 8, 9 months along, is especially egregious because it's obvious you're killing this little baby.
Right.
And he agrees with all that. But then he approves, this is a standard Christian position, he approves of the judge voting to keep the murder of a child legal because it's our process. And so what many of our Christian leaders now believe is they say, we owe our allegiance first to the process and secondarily to God and his principles. And that's where our Christian leaders have gone astray. Because even though we should be involved in trying to influence our government, we should never compromise on do not murder. Never, ever.
Right.
So, Elizabeth, I think we were misled because most Christians don't know that Samuel Alito rendered 5 extremist pro-abortion rulings in the past 10 years. They just don't know that. And John Roberts, he has stated under oath that there is nothing in his personal beliefs that would prevent him from fully and faithfully upholding Roe v. Wade. And so these men, if they ever struck down Roe v. Wade, it would only be for process reasons. It wouldn't be because it's wrong to kill an innocent child. It would be because of process. And so if Congress legalized abortion or if New York and California have abortion laws that they follow the process, then these same men would uphold abortion in New York and California because it was true to the process.
Wow.
So, Elizabeth, it sounds like you figured all this out also.
Some of it. I mean, I've heard some of it. You know, I didn't know all of that, though.
Mm. Well, there's a lot more. We've carefully gone over Alito's record, and in fact, I interviewed the lawyer who argued the partial birth abortion case before Samuel Alito in his courtroom in federal court. And it truly is a tragic record. And our Christian leaders have taught our politicians and our judges that it is that they can be praised if they violate do not murder as long as they're faithful to the process. So we've elevated the process above God. Where Peter said we must obey God rather than man when the two conflict,
mm-hmm.
our national ministries now say we must obey man rather than God. And so what's happened is the body of Christ has been sliding morally. We're into situational ethics and moral relativism. All right. Hey, Elizabeth, if you want to hold, maybe we could send you one of our catalogs and just let you know a little bit more about what Bob and Yurt Live is all about.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much. I put Elizabeth on hold, and we'll take calls after this break. Our number, 800-8-N-YARD. That's 800-836-9278. Have you seen the Bob and Yurt Live catalog? It's got so many neat resources, like videos such as Get Out of the Matrix, when I debated a college philosophy class, and Eagle Eggs, when does an eagle become an eagle? Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection, and God and the death penalty. And then there's Video Fruitcake with hilarious liberal callers. So call in and ask for the Bob and Yurt Live catalog, or get it on the web at kgov.com. Of course, all these materials are listed and described on the internet, or call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We'd love to send you a Bob and Yurt Live catalog, so give us a ring. Bob Enyard here, 1-800-8-ENYARD. Our phone number is 1-800-836-9278. So, yeah, it's a little sad when you look at the record of some of the people that we're told are strong pro-lifers, and you find out that they strongly support abortion as long as it's consistent with the process. And these people that really... we're told that as Christian pro-lifers, we need to put our trust in them, that we need to lobby for them and defend them and praise them. And it turns out they don't believe that they should rule against abortion because a baby is an innocent child who's going to be killed. They think they should rule against abortion only if the process is violated. That's it. Okay. So... All right, we were talking about the Bible as the Word of God, and liberals have this separation of church and state, which typically focuses on symbolism, like no prayer in public schools, don't say "In God We Trust" on our currency. But Christians have taken the separation of church and state to an entirely new level. They have taken it to a fundamental extreme position. And they have said, if the state says you can kill the innocent, then we approve of judges who kill the innocent because we believe in the separation of church and state. And so Christians have taken a liberal lie. And when the righteous, when those who are good take the lies of the wicked and make them their own, the destruction is far more devastating. When the wicked lie, when the wicked sin, right? Let's say Bill Clinton... it was in the news, he had an affair. I mean, it wouldn't faze anyone. Hillary's used to it. But if it was a godly Christian leader, I won't even name one because it'd be so devastating. If it was a godly Christian leader and the story broke that he was cheating on his wife, it would be devastating. Devastating. Because when the righteous do wrong, the consequences are far more insidious. So we have to realize that. We have to be aware that separation of church and state, we don't live in a theonomy. We do not live in a theonomy. The Lord Jesus is not sitting in the Oval Office. Washington, D.C. is not the New Jerusalem. But we should never violate God's principles of right and wrong. We should never sin that good might come of it. We don't do evil that good might come of it. And God said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Well, that's so mean. That must be the Old Testament, right? That was said in the Old Testament. Jesus would never say such mean things. Because in the Old Testament, God was mean, but then in the intertestament period, he got counseling, and now he's nice. That's not how it works. God is just as mean in the New Testament as he was in the Old. And he was just as nice in the Old as he was in the New. You know the whole love your neighbor deal? That's from the Mosaic Law. That's from the Old Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself. And it's in the New Testament where Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. And on that scale, hot, lukewarm, cold, where would you put this statement? If the process says you can kill the innocent, I approve of judges who follow the process and kill the innocent. That's either that has to go a ways to get lukewarm. That's pretty much cold. All right, what else do we have? We talk about, so the Bible, the Word of God, child discipline. We're going alphabetically, A, B, C. So children and the discipline of children, spanking, right? Here at Bob and Yurt Live, we strongly encourage parents to spank their kids. Spank your kids. Kids who don't get spanked tend to be unhappy. They tend to cry a lot. In fact, many of them are crybabies, even as they get older. My boys, Cheryl and I, we have seven boys, and two of my boys were calculating how much some of our neighbors in the past have cried, and they estimated that one neighbor kid has spent 1,500 hours of his life crying. Imagine that. And we have over 11 million kids on Ritalin. Boy, do we need spanking. Let's go to the phones. We will go to David in Ledges State Park, Iowa. David, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello, Bob.
Howdy.
Talk to you.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna order that. I'm gonna order the plot because I read the first chapter online. I was very intrigued, and I listened to a little of your archive broadcast.
David, how did you find out about Bob and Yurt Live?
Through the KFF
Faith and Freedom Network.
Faith and Freedom Network. That's right.
Well, we've long been thankful for Jamie Johnson, and now we have another reason to thank him.
All right.
So go ahead, David. What's your question about Old Testament law?
I think I got from a link of on your website. Do you think abortionists should be held accountable for murder the same way that someone who grabs any kid and murders him?
Yeah, abortion is murder, and our government, our culture makes too much of distinguishing one kind of murder from another. If you intentionally kill an innocent person, then that's murder. And so if you live in Germany, you know, some Christians act like only America exists and only this decade. Christians who lived in Germany and they made it legal to kill, the government made it legal to kill the Jews. And so just because you were obeying the law or following orders or following the Supreme Court, they had a Supreme Judge, you're still a murderer when you killed the Jews. And so, yes, even if the government says you can steal or rape, like in Baghdad under Saddam, or you can murder Jews or babies, murder is a crime before God, and the governments that say it's not are unjust in what they're doing. And so, yes, well, abortion is murder, and abortionist should be charged with murder.
I'm with you 100% there. I think I think the president should focus on the axis of evil in Planned Parenthood and places like that.
Wow.
Places far away.
Hey, David, my mother, Connie Sharon, my dad died some years ago. He became a Christian late in his life. My mom married a guy named Al Sharon from Philadelphia, who's now our office manager. And so anyway, my mother was speaking. She doesn't speak hardly ever, but she was speaking to a group, and she started out like this. She said, Planned Parenthood is the enemy. Planned Parenthood is the enemy. Planned Parenthood is the enemy.
Yeah.
And then she went on.
It's part of the axis of evil that
that's right.
we need to recognize.
Yeah, we need to pray that George Bush would understand it's wrong to nominate judges who are pro-abortion, because many of the judges that George Bush has nominated are strongly pro-abortion, and he hasn't, the Christian leaders haven't taught him that that was wrong, and he should not be proud of the pro-abortion judges he has nominated in Texas and to the federal judiciary.
That's for sure. You know, isn't he the one that made the comment, the allies of my enemies are my enemies?
Well, he said this. He said that if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist.
And our nation is harboring mass murderers.
Yeah, we're guilty of the shedding of innocent blood at a grand scale.
It's called
genocide.
Yeah. On the first table of the law, do you think a godly nation should allow the worship of idols like Allah?
Yes.
They should allow it.
Yes.
Didn't God tell the Israelites the reason they were to go in and destroy everyone was because of the idolatry of those nations?
Yes, that was a major reason.
But now we're supposed to allow it?
Yes.
Why?
Because God made a national covenant with Israel, and he issued laws that were to be obeyed and enforced by every nation in the world. But then he made a special national covenant with Israel, and he introduced laws for Israel that he did not impose on the nations of the world. And many of those laws were symbolic signs of spiritual truth about the coming of the Messiah, but also laws that reinforced his national covenant with his people Israel. And so, for example, if you were not allowed to wear clothes of mixed fibers, wool and linen, that was against the law. Is that immoral? No. Read the Apostle Paul. God doesn't care what you wear as long as you're modest.
But let
me just finish this point, then I'll go to you.
Okay.
But the clothing was symbolic of Christ, our covering for sin, and he is a pure covering for our sin. We're forgiven in Christ. So the clothing of Israel, just like their feast, just like their diet, their circumcision, were signs of God's covenant with Israel. So within Israel, Old Testament Israel, every other religion was outlawed. And in Israel, if you violated the Sabbath, you were to be put to death. But God, while he condemned the other nations of the world for their adultery and their stealing and their murder, he never...
Idolatry,
that's true. He never condemned them for violating the Sabbath, for working on Saturday, because God never imposed that as a restriction on the nations, governmentally. Or not even covenantally. So what you do to figure out what the law of the land should be is you find out, the Apostle Paul said we should rightly divide the word of truth. So you find out which of the regulations were for Israel as a nation, a covenant nation, and which of God's laws are for all of mankind. And then we as Christians should advocate that the government adopt and enforce God's laws that are valid for every nation, not only in Israel. And it was only in Israel that God outlawed other religions. Have you ever thought that through?
Yeah. Have you ever read Political Polytheism by Gary North?
I've read quite a bit of Gary North, but not that.
Okay. Anyway, so if I'm understanding you, you're telling me that God now, the civil government, who Romans 13 says is to be a terror to evildoers, is not to be a terror to the evil of idolatry.
There are, David, I know that you understand there's a difference between sin and crime.
Yes.
And God did not authorize governments to prohibit all sin. God authorized governments to prohibit crime. And crime is a sin, but it's a certain type of sin that crosses a boundary that God has outlined in the Bible. So that I could covet my neighbor's goods, but that is not to be against the law. But if I steal my neighbor's goods, then that is against the law. I could worship a false god. That's not against the law. But if I sacrifice my child to a false god, that is against the law.
But did not God say that the reason
yes, he did.
He was destroying those other nations was because of their idolatry. And shouldn't we expect, if we harbor idolatry,
yeah,
God
idolatry,
destroy our nation?
Yeah, idolatry will destroy an individual, a family, a church, a nation. And so will laziness. Laziness is not as bad as idolatry, but it's a form of idolatry.
So shouldn't the civil government, who is to be a terror to evildoers, be a terror to idolaters?
No. Should the civil government arrest people who covet? Because covetousness is a sin. In fact, Jesus said it's like murder. To covet your neighbor's wife, he said, is like adultery. And to be angry without cause is like murder. But God draws a distinction between a crime and a sin. And David, here's why the theonomy movement has not made any ground in America or elsewhere. You want me to give you my opinion of why?
Because
Gary North is a theonomist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like his father-in-law. And here's what's going on. When you don't rightly divide the Word of God between Israel and the body of Christ, you're not sure, you don't know what laws from the Mosaic Covenant should be implemented and what should not. So when you go to Gary North or Rush Dooney and you say, give me the criminal code, write it on a piece of paper, they have a hard time doing it in less than 1,000 pages because they don't know what to say. They don't know where to draw the line, and there's no momentum in the theonomy movement. Theonomy means God's law. There's no momentum in the movement because they can't agree. Are we going to execute people who curse God? Some say yes, and then they say, what does it mean to curse God? And they cannot agree because we don't have prophets and priests and a high priest who could discern some of these things that God required for Israel only. David, we're absolutely out of time.
Sorry, it's nice to talk to you.
Thank you so very much for calling in. I really appreciate that. And I think, wow, what a caller. I tell you, Iowa has people who think through the Word of God. That's pretty obvious from our first show. So I'm thrilled. As the pastor of Denver Bible Church, it is an honor to be on in Boone, Iowa, Ames, Iowa, College Town, and Des Moines, Iowa. Wow, and right here in Colorado. So KLTT, meet KFFF. KFFF, meet KLTT. And the bunch of you, meet KGOV.com on the internet. That's our website. And if you're listening in Iowa, you could check out more of our shows online at KGOV, KGOV.com. And also, you can call us and we'll send you our catalog. And you get an idea of what we're all about here at Bob and Yurt Live. So it's been a lot of fun talking to you for our very first show. Tomorrow we'll continue where we just left off, right? And it'll be a lot of fun. So tune in KFFF tomorrow at 5 o'clock drive time.